shifting gears just a little bit during this time of our service, starting last Sunday, we're doing a little reflecting, a little bit of looking at where our church is at, where it has been, where we want to go. So the attitude is a little bit more relaxed. In fact, I even brought my work hat here just to indicate a little bit that this is, you know, this is a little bit about working. We'll use this a little bit later on. And part of what we are doing is kind of just taking a look to find out a little bit about where it is we want to go, and maybe be a little more deliberate about making some improvements to what we do as a church here in Roanoke. And last week we began talking a little bit about just that, and we mentioned this is kind of it's a good time to do this, you know, of course, at the beginning of the year when we're making our resolutions and doing those kinds of things. But then also, we're gearing up a little bit this year for our 175th anniversary, and we talked yesterday a little bit about this, and it's a neat time for us as a church to have some goals set forth for how we're going to celebrate this, because it's a great time to showcase this church and what we are really about here with the hopes of promoting this and sharing Christ through what it is we do. And then also I mentioned this, there's an energy here. There's an energy at the church that we're just kind of looking at changing some things for the good. Not change this to change, but to make some improvements and make this place not just a good church, but a great one. And we talked a little bit, real briefly, last week about the church's mission. And we talked a little bit about how organizations spend a lot of time, you know, developing their mission statement and their vision statement. And I don't think we have to do that here, because I think 2,000 years ago, Jesus says, here's your mission. This is what you ought to be doing as a church. And it comes from the Gospel of Matthew here towards the end of the book when he says, you, church, go into all the nations and make disciples of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is what we are to do. We're to go and make disciples. The United Methodist Church crafted that a little bit into their mission for the world, and it's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's the sign that we have there. And any Methodist publication you see come out, it's always got that little thing on there. That is our mission. And I think it's the mission really of a worldwide church, and I think it's our mission here as well. We are to be making disciples. And then we talked about, you know, what that would look like. What would a thriving church full of flourishing people, what would that look like? What's the vision for us here? Because it's different for this church sitting in the middle of bean fields and cornfields where we are at in this community than it would look like if we were in Uganda, if we were in L.A. It's how does that look for us? And that's the challenge, I think, for us as we move forward. What is this supposed to look like? But the general vision of what a thriving church would look like, and I shared this with you last week as well, and we have that up on the screen here too, this vision prayer, we call it. And it starts off, and I think it's real key that we look at that fourth word in that statement there. It's our prayer. It's very typical in other organizations to cast a vision statement that the leaders of the organization think is the vision of the organization. Well, no, I don't think so. In a church, it shouldn't be. It's God's plan for this, and for us to think about what this would look like, it starts with prayer. It starts with Him giving us the direction of what this church should look like. So that's why that fourth word is in there. It's our prayer that this church would look like this, that God would do some stuff. He would make this place a thriving place where people proclaim Him, worship Him, and find abundant life in following Jesus Christ. And it's our prayer also that He would make this Pleasant Chapel a flourishing people who are actively serving Him and sharing His love. And yeah, that's a broad kind of a wide-ranging vision there, but that's what we ought to see is people would come into this church in the future, and we've taken some steps forward on what this church would look like. A new person would come in and say, boy, they are centered on worshiping Christ. They are focused on their love of God and connecting deeply with Him. And I also see where people are growing and they're changing and they're being transformed into Christ's likeness. They're becoming who it is that they're supposed to do, and they serve. This church is out and they're in their communities and they're finding places where people need help and they need love and they need encouragement. They need their needs met. And that's sort of this thing that we would be shooting for, that Pleasant Chapel would become both a place but also a people whose focus is on God. And then just to kind of get us from a practical perspective, what this sort of looks like, you know, if you think about church, and just to kind of break this, just to break any church down, kind of how a church functions, and we can kind of piece these things together and say, you know, this is where we're kind of good, and this is where we could probably take some steps of improvement. We talked again about this last week, where the center of the church is first and foremost centered on worshiping God, coming to know Christ and proclaiming Him. That is the focus of what all churches should do. That is the focus. We are about magnifying God. We are about proclaiming the good news that we find in Christ. We know that. We know that that's what this is all about. And then the second thing we say that all churches, including us, is that next blue ring that you see there. And it's about community. It's about family. It's about doing stuff together. You know, there's a push today that says, you know, I can get my religion on my own. I can use my phone, and I can find God in my tree stand or out on the golf course or something. You know, can I do that? That's not to say you can't do that, but God has called people to come and be interdependent upon people, to be dependent upon Him, but to be dependent upon others as well. And so church, when done well, is done in family, and it's done in community. The couple of passages that I included in the bulletin here, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but there's an Old Testament passage that always fascinates me. It's when God called these people, and really it was the first church. It was when they built that tabernacle. Remember, the tabernacle was that portable church that they folded all up and they carried through the wilderness, and then they'd set it up and they'd worship, and then they'd have to take it and set it up somewhere else as God moved them on their journey to the promised land. But in that, people were required to be dependent, to be a community. Numbers 4 talks about how those people, who was in charge of folding up the cloths? Who was in charge of the sea lion skins? You know, who took care of this? Who folded up the pieces of the... you had to be a family, a unit, to be able to function in this first church of the time. Similarly, in 1 Corinthians, that passage there that's in your bulletin, Paul talks about us, the metaphor is a body. We are one body with many parts to do things together, to accomplish what we would as a body. And you've got hands, and you've got arms, and you've got feet, all doing these different parts to make the body function. So this community thing is just so important to make a church function well. And I think last week, and I was bold enough to make a little bit of judgment about Pleasant Chapel, kind of how I view this church the last 2.5 years, you know. And if I had to say it's the strength here, I think it's those blue ones. I think we are centered on loving God and coming to know Christ and proclaiming Him. I think that center of what it is we're about is correct. And I also mentioned I think this family is tight and close and powerful and strong. And I think that's one of the awesome assets of this body is the community aspect of who we all are here as a family. And then the other two pieces here, the purple one out there on the right, is a good church just doesn't stay within these walls. We just don't show up here and, you know, eat food, sing some songs, and go on. That's not what it is that we are to do. We are to be out in the world. You know, that first word in Jesus' great commission is go. Go into the world and make disciples of men. We're supposed to go. We are to be out in that dark world doing things. We are to help meet the physical needs and the spiritual needs and the emotional needs of a community that lives in a dark, dark world. We are to go out and do that. We are to serve Him. We are to have ministries beyond these walls. That's a very important aspect of church. And then the other part, which we're going to focus on today, is the left purple part there, is this process of becoming disciples. Yeah, go get these people to come in and become disciples. But once they're here, and once we're here, this process of becoming discipleship, to be a disciple means to learn, to change, to grow, to come to know. How is that happening? And we need to be conscious about how it is we're doing that. How are we becoming more like Christ? Individually, think about that question for you. Am I changing? Am I becoming? You know, I really hope, I've said this before, I'm sure, but you know, I really hope every year that I grow, I can look back at the year before and say, man, I was so immature back here in 2018. I kind of hope that's how it works. Maybe not by year, but by phases. That we do see growth, that we're changing as we come to know God and we experience Him through all the parts of our lives that we have opportunities to come to know Him. That we do just that. We change. We become different people, ones He would have us be. So that's kind of the model that we have here. And the question then is, how is it that we are to move? What kind of changes if we need to make so that we can become that church that would be a little closer to what that vision looks like? What aspects of our church here might we want to change? And I said last week, I kind of want us to the next few weeks here focus on the purple ones there. What is it we could do in regards to ministry? And so somewhere here, not today, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to give you opportunities here. Here are some potential things, ways that you could serve in our community. We'll give you some options on that. And another way, thing that we'll give you some opportunities on, how is it, because, you know, finance is such an important part of what we do as a people, also as a church. How can I be a little more intentional about the money giving that I give to this church and how it could affect positive things in our community, in our world? I want to give you some, that's why it's a little bit of a work thing here. I'm going to give you, this is going to be a little bit of an interactive kind of couple of weeks here where you can participate a little bit and commit to some of these things in these purple areas individually that you could be doing. And then today, what are some things that I could be doing in regards to my own discipleship? How is it that I can, how can I come to know Him more? How can I experience Him more? What's my responsibility in this process of change? What are some steps that I can take in my own spiritual formation? How are we going to do that? How is this church going to change? How is it going to become? How will it be a church that goes from being a good church to a great church? How's it going to go from how we see this church now to a church that we can say it's a thriving church with flourishing people? How are we going to do that? And my quick and dirty answer to that question is it's y'all. It's you. It is you that is going to make these changes. It's you when we decide to take these steps of faith that we will make these changes happen. I will tell you a wrong way to go about this. And I can tell you this because it's based on my life experiences. You know, I go back and look. I look at my past and it's just littered with debris. Both in my actions in churches, but as well as things that I tried to do within in the school corporation as well. And so many times you try to make improvements to something, and you look back and say, that didn't work. And my whole past is just filled with a debris field out here, things that just didn't work. And I think so many times those things failed because they were all about programs, and especially within the church. You think about what kinds of things, what programs do we need to do, what changes do we need to make. And they're just so short-lived at best. As opposed to finding out what it is we are supposed to be doing based on what God would have us do. So one of the wrong ways I think we could do this is we get together. You know, we can get together as a small group like we do here, and we can have this discussion, and somebody might raise their hand. You know, back in the day when the church was doing well, we had sock hops going on. So let's get sock hops back here every Friday night. That'll bring people in, and our church will thrive. Well, I don't know if that's quite the right answer. Or, you know, we could go down the road, and we go to, you know, the big church down the road, and they've got a hired barista there, and they've got a coffee bar there. We ought to put that back here and hire a guy to make us little coffee drinks, because that works for those guys. Or the other one, I think I'm just always fascinated about. I don't know why this wouldn't work for us. You know, we leave here and we go to Fort Wayne, and there's always six county cops out there on the road directing traffic. Let's hire some police out here to just turn on their lights, and, you know, we could do that because that's what other people are doing. And tongue in cheek, you know, we can look at these things and think about what other people are doing, what's been successful for other people, or think about our opinions about what we think this church ought to look like. Again, that would be another pile of debris in my past because it would be short-lived. We need to focus and center ourselves on where we sense God is leading the church, not what we think is right, but where is God taking this church? How is He nudging us to take these next steps? So to do that, what I'm proposing to do here is I'm going to provide you some opportunities to think through that. I'm going to present you with some options here that will allow you to individually take some steps in your own spiritual formation or your discipleship. And then later on, we'll talk about the ministry side, the purple circle on the right. How can we be a little bit more intentional about the things that we are doing in regards to our discipleship, in regards to our service, in regards to how we help finance the church here? So I'm going to suggest some things to you. They are just suggestions, and these it's not about my ideas. What I hope with this happens is when we suggest these things to you, I hope what you do is you'll prayerfully consider to see how this might apply to your life. Some things that'll show you here just won't probably trip a trigger at all, but other things you perhaps will feel a tug, a nudge. That's something maybe I need to put on my life, or there's something there I need to take away from my life. They are just suggestions. As we talk through these things, it might trigger something else, and that's fine too. In regards to discipleship, those ideas up there, but this is really what I want to be working on, and I'll give you a chance to work on that as well. Don't freak out over this at all. And you might be kind of, shit, what's he doing? What's going on here? This is going to be okay. I'm thinking if I was a guy sitting out there, I know what he's going to have me do. I'm going to have to stand up and hold hands with another guy and sing Kumbaya and light a candle. We're not going to do that. It isn't going to be like that. I'm going to suggest some things, and I'm asking that perhaps you might have your interest piqued, or you might say, I got kind of a little passionate about that. And that's what to me, that's how God has worked in my life. As I look back on my life and I think about, where did I feel Him pushing me? Well, you never know at the time, it seems like. It's always when you look backwards, you say, I understand it now. But as I look back, it's where my interests changed. It's where I was given this interest or this passion to do something. I don't know why that happened. I didn't know what was going on at the time, but now I look back and say, that was His hand. That was His hand in that. He wanted me to go down that path. And that's what I hope this will work for you as well. It'll spark a level of interest or passion in you. Are you considering, perhaps, the Spirit might be working on you as you go through these kinds of things? And then there's the possibility of doubt. And I want to address this. I started to talk about this last week, but I got doing this too much last week, and we went way too long. But do you remember, if you were here last week, we talked about that passage in Matthew where Jesus is about to leave here in His earthly ministry, and He's about to give these men this great commission to go into the world, change the world, make disciples of me, baptizing them. I'll be with you always, is what He's going to tell them. But each account in the Scripture, Matthew, including Mark, Luke, and John, all have this. At that same time, they all report that when Jesus appeared back to them, when He's given these instructions, each author talks about they doubted. These disciples doubted. All the stuff they would have seen, all the miracles, the teaching, raising people from the dead, having victory over death. And then when He encountered them, they doubted. Doubt is a real thing. And when you think about what we're talking about here, sure there's going to be doubts. What's that old guy up there talking about now? For sure there's going to be doubt. I believe that is okay. You will also, I think, doubt whether or not, when I ask you to maybe commit to something here, I don't know if this is right or not. There will be doubt there. I don't believe there will ever be this crystal clear direction for us. We will have doubt there, but it is my belief that faith is our response to doubt. We're going to act in faith. I faithfully believe that God is calling me to do this or that. So let's get to work. Let's get to work here. Let's think about our own discipleship. Think about where you are in your walk and how you are becoming the person you are to become, that you are to be on this path to change. There are so many scriptures I could pull from here, but the one I don't even believe I have it on the screen. Yes, I do. I have it on the screen here. It's from Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. The first directive there is to make effort. You need to give of yourself to God. You need to give. You need to sacrifice. You need to do some action. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Excuse me, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Offer your body. This is effort. We need to take the effort to do this. We also need to position ourselves so that our minds can be renewed. What is it that I can do for my mind to be renewed? How is it that I can understand what it is that He wants me to do? So I've got a series of options that I want you to consider here. But before I do that, you should be able to grab a pencil or a pen. And I always leave you a little bit of space in the bulletin to write. So if you're old enough to hold a pen or pencil, you can do this. So everybody grab one. And if there's no, if you don't have, everybody can get a bulletin, there should be little pieces of paper out to the side here you can write on too. So I'm going to ask you to take a little bit of notes here. And this is for you. So I have a list of things, suggestions for you to think about in regards to your discipleship. What are some things that are a fit for you right now in January 13th of 2019 that may be something that God's asking me to take onto my life that will help me in my walk, my journey here. My list is not complete, so don't think that, you know, these are just some suggestions here. But the first set of them here is, in order for me to be the disciple you would have me be, I want to commit my regular presence in weekly worship. I probably don't push that enough here, but when we talk about the collective nature of the church, how important it is that we have our presence here. You know, when you join the church, that's one of the things that you acknowledge, that I am going to faithfully participate in the church by my presence and by my gifts. We commit to that. That's part of one of the oaths that we take when we join the church. It's important that we're here. Not just so that you gain something. It isn't about you. But you don't know how you are offering something to some other member of this body or the family. So I'm not asking you to write all these down. What I want you to do is, as you read them up here, if there's something that clicks with you, if there's something you feel is working on your heart, that's what I want you to write down. I want to be better about my attendance at church. The second one there, I want to commit to a regular time of prayer. There are some people, I believe, that are gifted in prayer. They're just awesome prayer warriors. I think everybody can pray, but I think some people are called to put extra effort in that, to be a prayer warrior. And maybe that's something God would lay on your heart, that you would like to have a more focused time of prayer. Or the next one, which is related to that, is, you know, you think right now there may be something specific in your life. There may be a situation in your life or a specific person in your life that needs prayer. And perhaps God right now is nudging you to say, you know, this year, Joel, I'd like for you to pray for Bobby Jones or whoever. Prayer. Here's a couple more. I want to fuel my affection for God, this is wordy, by committing time to see Him, to intentionally seek Him in all things, to meditate in quiet, or to devote a time of focus and listening. Said another way, some people just call this, I want to commit to a time of solitude. Solitude is just a word where I'm going to get out of the buzz of life, all this stuff. You know how busy we get. And I want to commit to this time where I can just focus on Him, where I can think about how He is working in my life. I can become better at seeing Him in all the other aspects of my life, to be able to focus intently on Him. The second one here, I think, is a very important one, that we purposefully consider areas of weakness or sin. I've got some stuff in my life that is just I'm battling with. It could be gossiping. It could be pornography. It could be a lustful heart. It could be greed. It could be coveting. You know it. I don't care to know that. You know that. You know there's something that you've been working on. But part of your discipleship, part of becoming, is to acknowledge it, confess it, repent of it, give it over to Him and then resist that. And maybe that's something that God is working on you right now. That this is, I need to be doing this. Next set here to talk about here is I want to become more intentional about my finances. I haven't really thought through. As if you're a family, you haven't really talked about it. You've just always given X number of dollars to the church. Well, I'm going to be a little more intentional about this. We're going to talk more about this a little later because we're going to modify a little bit about how we handle the way we deal with some of the missions and ministries we do outside of this. But maybe right now you might think a little bit about, I want to do a better job with how I handle my money and how it relates to helping this church go on. The next one there is be more deliberate about how I serve in this church. And again, this is that other purple circle there that we'll get to. But maybe what's on your heart is, I come to church, I show up here, but yet I would like to get a little more involved. It takes a lot to make the church function well, and I want to be a little more intentional about how I might fit into that. I think the next one is another good one, too. I want to commit to frequently and regularly reading Scripture. I think all churches, I think we've just, especially Methodist churches I've been a part of, we just have not emphasized this enough, that being in our Bibles is just an important thing to do, because that is primarily the way God talks to us. It's through Scripture. It's coming to know Him through the stories that have been told. It is powerful. Reading Scripture and participating in this story is one of the greatest things I think you will ever do here. And maybe God is putting on your heart right now that I want to be more intentional about that. The last set here is I'd like to participate in a Bible study or small group. Again, this is how you grow individually, but you also grow in a small group setting. We've got Bible studies that happen. We have Sunday schools that go on. I want to be a part of something like that because I know that's how I will be held a little more accountable. If I'm in a group of people that will help me grow together because they're in the similar journey that I'm on. Or another one I think is so good. We live in an age where there's so much good stuff out there that we can understand God's Word for sure through the Bible. We should start there. But through podcasts, through sermons that you can listen to in your car, through books, what a wonderful time we live in there. You can just get people that they're so good with putting these thoughts together. What a great time to be able to do this. And for some of you, that might be a great thing to do as well. And then finally, that's just kind of a general in there, but I want to be a little more intentional about who I connect with. The fellow follower part is maybe you'd hear people talk about having an accountability partner, someone that's on this walk with you, usually it's of the same gender, that you can share, these are my struggles, and they'll pray with you. Or you can pray with them, or you can help them. But that's connecting someone, not just in a friendship kind of way, but it's done in a way that you are helping each other in their spiritual walk. Or the other one I think we're not doing a good enough job is if everybody in your circle is a follower of Christ, I think you're missing out. I don't think all your buddies ought to be Christians. I think we ought to be hanging out with some people that are, they don't believe yet. I think we should be. How are they going to know? I think it's our job to make those connections. And maybe that's something that's on your heart right now, that I need to do that. I have so-and-so at work that I know is far from God, and I'm not going to go preach to him, but I'm going to work on having a relationship with him. Let God take care of the rest of it. We need to connect with other people. And that's part of our walk as well. So those are, and you might, as we walk through that a little bit, perhaps there's, as I talked through those, there's nothing magical about those at all. Maybe as you were thinking about that, something else came to mind. Hope it did, because that's not me. That's him working. And likewise, if you felt like there was something there, that this is something I need to be working on, that is not me. That's God working on us. And that, I believe, is how we're going to take these steps. As we move from this good church to this great church, from a church that's here to a church that flourishes and is thriving, I think it's us taking these steps. And you have this opportunity to respond to him. Now, you keep those pieces of paper, but what I do want to do is I'm going to have you go back down through the list one more time, but I'm going to have you put them on this. This is everything you just saw right there. But I'd like to have these back because I'd like to take what you just felt God work through you. I'd like for you to put these on a piece of paper so that I can look at these. And this helps us as a church then kind of decide, you know what? We have an awful lot of people that feel God moving this way. And if that's the case, then we probably ought to think a little bit about what we're doing as a church in regards to offering programs or offering specific ministries. So I'm going to hand this thing out. We got a little bit of work music for you here. I'm going to put my work hat on. And you fill these out. This hat will be in the back. And when you get done here at the end of the service, we'll have you put these in the hat in the back. Play it, Raleigh. It's a great song. Anybody know it? There's a bunch. I'm just going to just throw them around here. I feel like a teacher. Used to be a teacher. You know the words. I ran off 80 of these. I think that was plenty. Anybody need one? Just like my trick quizzes, make sure your name's on the top of the paper. Music's over. Let us, there's a hat in the back that's on that chair as you walk out, but let's, we blew off freely last week. We're going to do it this week. Let's stand and we will do this closing song, Freely. And make sure when you leave, you put your blue papers on the red hat.